You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I'll gaslight my students any fucking time. If I didn't do something I was supposed to do, I'll tell them, like, I never said I would do that. Like, I'll tell them, like, no, I told you I was going to do this thing. Like, and I would, like, just tell people that as, like, a teaching tip, where I'd be like, you can tell them anything. It's really not, as long as it's not going to make their grades worse, you can tell them anything. You should be happy about it. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Anne.
And I'm Leah.
And it was PPV week this past week. How is everybody's disposition?
We were up late.
I'm still tired, to be honest with you.
It was worse for you guys than me because I kind of forgot about the East Coast situation. What time did they end? Like 12:45 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And then, of course, I stayed up to watch... Sean Rossap and then the media
watching Sean Rossap's useless streak that revealed nothing of interest.
Absolutely useless.
Where he talked
for so long and then was like, "Yeah, I have nothing."
And then MJF said, "No comment."
He did talk a lot, but he'd also gotten that like co-host on. I'm sorry to that woman, but I was like, "Ma'am, your takes are not what I'm here for right now." I think we're all here for the same thing, which is that he said he had a piece of information we wanted. And so when I have to listen to you say things, I don't like it. Okay, so we're going to start out by talking about the MJF situation that we wanted Sean Rossap to report on. So kind of a quick rundown of what was going on if you missed it, which I guess it's like lots of people are just like medium normal fans of wrestling and wouldn't have seen any of this, I guess, which is crazy. But MJF, skipped a meet and greet in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And
Without notice.
And then, like, Sean Rossap from Fightful was like, I got insider info that a plane ticket was booked in MJF's name today, like, right before that meet and greet out of Vegas tonight. And so the whole day before the PPV, basically everyone was being like, is MJF going to show up at the PPV? Is this a shoot? Is it a work? Like, what's going on here? And that was like the entire build up to the PPV was like, MJF might not come.
Right. And then there was like, you know, he's not at the venue yet. He hasn't been seen at the venue. Like, is venue, like the venue watch, like, are we going to see him at all? And it was like, The whole thing like just caused so much anxiety because I was like, mm-hmm. I want to see Wardlow get his moment. This is going to be awful.
I know. And I felt very like to me, like all the storylines leading up to the pay-per-view have been like a little bit lackluster, except like the Wardlow MJF one. So that was the one where I was like, well, at least this is going to be like a big finale, like feel good moment. And then I was like so stressed about it, like, and I don't know, the meet and greet thing did seem real to me just because like it's such a fucked up thing to do.
I know.
Like trying to I don't know. And also, I don't know, the whole thing. So it just, I was very anxious, and then he did show up, but it kind of, honestly, it just kind of ruined the match for me because I was so stressed out that something bad was going to happen.
I started laughing because I forgot that what I was going to say is we were talking about last week whether our predictions were going to sound very stupid. And I cannot believe that the most embarrassing prediction that we made was I'm excited for the MJ and Wardlow match.
I believe what we said was if nobody's got us, we know MJ and Wardlow got us.
MJF
did not, in fact, got them.
No.
Although, but he did. So he did show up for the PPV. Mm. It was the first show. I believe that Meltzer said it was, or the first match. Meltzer said it was always going to be the first match. So that was, you know, was unchanged. And it was a squash, basically, which I thought was right. Like, the way that the match worked, I was like, yeah, seems right for the storyline. Like, basically, MJF, like, tried to skedaddle away, and Wardlow got him and powerbombed him a bunch of times. And MJF,
it's totally like what I assumed the final match was going to be like the whole time. Like, obviously, Wardlow's just going to powerbomb to death. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, really, the major thing is just that it's like, yeah, I felt extremely unsettled going into the PPV and like a little bit like a baby about it, where it's like, I was just like, well, it's not that I like need to know all the time, like, what's a shoot and what's a work, but I am a sensitive bitch, so like I actually don't like super enjoy this.
Yeah. Well, and it felt like if he doesn't show, like, poor Wardlow, like, this is really putting him over, and he needs it, and it would be like such a fucked up thing to do. So it's like, and then he did show, but he looked really low energy and like unhappy. I don't know, the whole thing, the whole energy of it just stressed me out. I mean, I think by then they were turning it into a work at least. But I didn't enjoy it as a work. I thought it kind of ruined the storyline.
Yeah, the Wardlow part of it was the extremely relevant part to me. Because I was talking, I mean, we're going to get to what happened on Dynamite. But I was like talking about like how what happened on Dynamite, like I went, how it went back, like how I feel retroactively. And the thing is that like, if that had happened on one of the Punk matches, like, if this was, if he had done this to the last pay-per-view, I don't think I would be as anxious because like wouldn't be as much riding on him showing up. Like, it would be a level to be like, if you want to screw yourself, screw yourself. But it was like the fact that I like so much was riding on this for Wardlow that like just made me feel so bad.
Yeah, I agree. And then I feel like the whole storyline, like they set it up so well as it was, like basically like a feel good, like end to like a Star War or something, you know, where you're like, like good's going to defeat evil and we're all going to feel great about it. And so it was like, to me, like a very straightforward kind of ending that wouldn't be hard to land. But like with all of this clouding it, it just really like took away from it. Whereas I feel like another kind of match, it wouldn't have quite ruined for me the same.
I definitely agree. It just felt, yeah, it felt really off in at a time when, like you said, you are like, yeah, this shouldn't be that complicated of an ending. Like, it's, which isn't a bad thing. Like, it's good that there are some stories that have an ending that's just like, yes, that's the perfect symphonic thing that I wanted. And this was like a dissonant element.
Yeah.
Which I guess it's jazz. I guess wrestling is jazz, as I've always said.
I guess. And I do feel very, like, I do feel like a stupid baby about it because it's also like, oh, I got worked, or I like shouldn't follow like stupid wrestling Twitter, even though I don't even follow that much. It's just like, I follow Sean Rossap and David Meltzer, and that was enough to like drag me into it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just feel like, ugh.
And I don't usually mind, like, this is the first time that I've had an experience in wrestling of like feeling like, I don't like the intersection between reality and kayfabe here, and it's like making it less like fun for me because I was just so I was just so stressed. So we will talk about what happened on Dynamite. So on Dynamite, the MJF came out for his scheduled appearance and cut a promo that, as everyone has been saying, was like his pipe bomb promo that was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I was here from the beginning. I, you know, outperform, over deliver. I'm not respected. And it ended with him being like, being like calling Tony a fucking mark and just being like, fire me, you fucking mark, over and over again. And then I think what happened, I don't remember if we could see this on, when we were watching that. You couldn't. Okay.
Yeah. No, you couldn't see it.
So on, like, if you were there, CM Punk came out, like down the ramp towards MJF, and MJF like sklonked off in the opposite direction. I think the Young Bucks came out too, but I couldn't quite see. I think they were like going back, and they were kind of like the groundhog, like I don't know what they did, but anyway, so obviously then this sparks a whole new round of like, at this point everybody pretty much agrees that like he did skip the meet and greet and that wasn't a work, but that then he and Tony turned like everything else about this into a work, and so now it's like a really big work about like they've taken down his like shirts off of the AEW website. And it's like a storyline, you know, like 99%. That seems to be the vibe.
Yeah. I would also like to point out that the All Elite Wrestling recap, which I used to anchor my damn memory, did not reference this promo whatsoever.
Which is funny.
It's very
also,
funny.
I think that's funny. But. They like cut his mic and then they cut to commercial. And then when they came back, commentary like brought Tanahashi out again, like to the thing that had happened like before that. So it was like, oh, we're just pretending that didn't happen.
And to be clear, they cut his mic out after a 7.5 minute promo the ending point.
And Dynamite, which doesn't bleep things in advance because no one's supposed to swear, somehow knew to bleep the swears. So
but they are
like,
on a, they're in a, I saw something about this, but it's like they are in a delay, right?
Yeah, but like, I think like all the other times that they've said shit, they haven't, like, I don't know. Like, it just felt like they knew exactly when it was coming.
Yeah, I agree. I guess I'm not like not really trying to push back on it because I'm like, I do think they knew, but I guess I don't know.
I don't know. The whole thing to me, I was so mad like at MJF and the whole thing going into this that I really hated that. I don't know that you guys do, but I like did not like it at all because like to me, it felt very like kind of a ripoff of the pipe bong thing. Like, do we need to do this again? All the like the cutting the mic and the cutting to commercial thing felt very like, oh, you think like I'm an idiot, like of course this is like it was just so like clumsily feeling like a work, you know, like just trying to like, I don't know, I just didn't think it was fun. I felt a little bit, it was probably my energy is like, MJF, we're in a fight and you're trying to be cute with this right now, like it's not cute.
No, you can't come to bed tonight.
Yeah. So like that probably colors it, but I don't know. I don't like Tony Khan becoming like a Vince McMahon character that we cut promos on either. Like, I don't know if we need that. Like, it all felt derivative to me. Like,
I felt opposite in that he got me in the moment. Like, absolutely. Like, to me, like it was just enough signaling that it was a work that I felt in on the joke instead of like the anxiety of, is this not, or is it like the anxiety before the pay-per-view match? Like, I hated it. It sucked. Yeah. It made me feel bad. But this, I was like, there's an, like, I can tell that it's fake. And if I can tell it's fake, then I can enjoy it. And I feel like I'm in on it. It's great. I'm like, I enjoyed it. I thought that like, he like did a great job. It kind of felt a little bit like Brutus giving his speech where like everyone's pissed at first, and then he gets by the end of it, he was like just getting cheered, and like I felt that way too. Like, I thought that he like gave like a really persuasive speech, but by the end of it, I was super into it. I think afterwards, like thinking about it later, I kind of agree that like I think there's some dangers here in making AEW and Tony Khan the heels, and like there is a level to which it's like, I don't ever want to side with the corporation. I always want to side with the workers. And so I'm like, this is it. Like, I do think it's going to, it has some dangers. Like, if there's some weird places it could go that are bad, but in the moment he got me real good. I was like, oh yeah, I'm back in.
Interesting. I did not feel that way at all. But I also didn't feel concerned about it not being a work at that point. I just have, and this is my personality. I hold a big grudge. And I was like, I really didn't enjoy my weekend, honestly. Like, I didn't enjoy, and we're going to get into a lot of other things about this pay-per-view that I like really left being like, I'm going to fucking lose my shit at Tony Khan. Like, I got to get him on the line because I'm so annoyed at him right now.
So and you then, also were like, MJF, we're in a fight. This isn't fun.
Yeah, kind of. But like, it wasn't, I don't feel as much in a fight with MJF. Like, the thing for me that I was just like, fuck you, is that it was like a pipe bomb promo and that it was like more of their like CM Punk MJF thing. And I'm so annoyed about everything going on with CM Punk that I was just like, you can fuck off. I don't give a shit. I don't want to see your stupid pipe bomb promo. I don't even like, I don't know. Like, I didn't even find it like, I guess I didn't not find it persuasive, but I didn't find it like super persuasive either, especially, you know, because of like anytime I'm just like kind of watching a white man be like, nobody likes, nobody respects me. I'm kind of like, well, they really do. Like, so I don't know. I think I just like don't know how I feel. I just felt like really resistant to it. And was kind of like, great, so now I have to watch this. So now this is what we're going to be doing for a while. I don't know. I felt, and it's interesting because it's like, obviously I have always been like, MJF is so good at what he does. And I think he did do a great job with the promo. Like, it's like, he was handling the crowd. He was like working the crowd around. Like, there's not anything that I can actually point to that's like, that was bad. I think it was good. But like, I don't like what's coming down the pipeline for my summer. Let's put it that way.
So you're saying this is not the summer of Punk for you?
It's the summer of being pissed off, maybe. This is the summer of my madness.
You get one summer in your lifetime.
It is interesting when we don't have an echo chamber.
It is, yeah. I like that we had three different perspectives on that. And it was something.
Only one of us feels pleasure. Congratulations, Leah. You're the winner this week. Can you guys believe it? Leah feels pleasure this week.
Wait till we get to the Punk section. I'm just kidding. Imagine if I pulled that out.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see what happens when Tony fires him. And then also on Dynamite, Wardlow squashed JD Drake, and then Mark Sterling came out and said he's filing a class action lawsuit on behalf of all the security guards that Wardlow powerbombed. And
this
then
was
Wardlow,
delightful.
This was very
Wardlow,
funny.
You're my precious boy, and everything your storyline is doing is great.
Wardlow's face of just being like, you're doing what? I'll powerbomb another security guard immediately. I don't give a shit.
It's so funny that like Wardlow is like the biggest baby face right now, but his point of view in this feud is that he should be allowed to powerbomb men at their jobs.
Yeah.
And Mark Sterling, who is a heel lawyer, is saying you shouldn't powerbomb random innocent men. And yet we're like, yeah, go Wardlow. But he's, I mean, it's right.
You're saying it was right that this didn't take place on Labor Day after all.
The politics are complicated. They are very complicated.
I think that Mark Sterling should win one of our awards for the way that his line delivery on he has a family.
Mark Sterling honestly usually does a great job. I mean, I do just love whenever he's on my screen being injured in some new way. He never recovers from his injuries.
It's like Brandon Cutler's orbital, just like that's never getting better.
So that's forever. Did you guys have any thoughts about Wardlow's entrance music?
I couldn't tell. So the music didn't start until he was like halfway down the ramp, and I couldn't tell if that was like them fucking up or intentional. And also, like, they kind of like pumped it up. Like, I saw multiple tweets being like, Wardlow's getting brand new music, but it kind of sounded pretty similar to the last one.
I didn't realize it was new, to be honest with you.
Maybe
I was like, why are we talking about
this? It's not new. I don't know. I didn't like it.
It's like the last one was just some guy going like, this is war, which was fine.
This
Yeah.
Okay, so this wasn't that. No.
No,
it was not metal.
Yeah.
It was very un.
It was not very memorable. Yeah.
And so, but like, did you guys think it was weird that he like came into like silence and got like to the ramp and like to the entrance of the ramp before he
it
started playing? I just thought it was very strange.
I thought that it was I thought that it was just like someone's idea for making it dramatic that just didn't work. Like, I could like possible. I just could like imagine myself being in that meeting that's just like, yeah, it's like gonna work really well because it'll be like it has been where he's coming out to no music, but then we hit the music, and I could just like see someone coming up with that, and then it happens, and it's like, it doesn't really have the impact. So I guess that's what I thought was going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about let's talk about the big match of the night. So the last match of the night was Punk Hangman. Tony kept us waiting until after the basketball was over. So it's yet another reason he's on my shit list. All the other champs who had matches had retained their titles at this point. So I did really feel like, well, we're in danger. And we were in danger because Punk won the match.
Yeah. And I think last week we all said we'd be ripshit if Punk won. And I am ripshit.
I am absolutely ripshit, as promised. I haven't been happy since, really.
No, haven't known a moment's happiness.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I could run 2 miles.
Shut the fuck up, Leah.
Not funny, Leah. Do we look like we're in the mood for
jokes? Back in this echo chamber right now. I am counting to 10. And if you're not back in this echo chamber with the rest of us, you are going to be so sorry. And I'm wearing a mom shirt, so you know I mean it.
Obviously, I hated it.
Thank
it was bad.
You. Needed to hear it.
Boy.
Yeah, so it was like a pretty normal match. I mean, it was a good match. The energy was pretty unhinged. Like, it was very electric.
Yeah, I was pretty stressed the whole time, so this pay-per-view really started with me quite stressed, and it ended with me extremely stressed as well,
five hours apart. We'll talk about kind of what I called like our only moment of happiness in the pay-per-view is the next thing we'll talk about, but the climax of this match was that Hangman was tempted to cheat with the belt and did not cheat, and then lost. So, Ian, do you want to talk about the...
Yeah, I was just thinking about like how in Punk and MJF's feud, like the big final climax was that Wardlow brought out MJF's ring and gave it to Punk, and then Punk used the ring to win. At the time, I was into it for sure. I mean,
I definitely said if you use the ring, it's evil. To use the tool.
I was into it as like a plot turn. I didn't think it was like a good thing to do, I guess. Like, yeah.
So, Anne, you're saying that you thought he was on good behavior?
No, I mean, it was a little bit complicated by the hook into the Wardlow storyline, you know, because Wardlow was like turning on MJF, but... So he was tempted by the ring. He used it. So he won by cheating. So then you have this parallel where Hangman is being tempted to cheat, but he chooses not to, which I did really like as a character beat, because I do think that like I could do the wrong thing and win, but I'll decide to do the right thing and lose. Like, even though it cost me, I do think is like just in the world in general, that's like what being a good person is pretty much. Yeah. So I was like very proud of Hangman for that. But obviously I hated the ending. A lot. Were you about to say something, Leah?
No, I also hated it. It's right. No, it's all really right. I don't know. He wasted so much time standing there and staring at the belt and thinking so theatrically that I was just like in my house screaming, being like, either hit him or don't hit him. But
and commentary was definitely was like basically that he took so long to decide was what did it been. So, yeah. I mean, which I guess makes sense for Hangman, but like, I don't know. I was just so mad about Punk winning, and I really hate Punk, and I feel like the moral vibes of like good versus bad are real mixed up in this whole thing. Although I did feel like when I was trying to regulate my emotions afterwards, I was like, well, I feel like being the champ has been a bit of a struggle for Hangman. Like, I feel like they haven't quite known what kind of tone to take with him. So I did think that like him in a like I tried to do the right thing but I lost like spiral could lead to some interesting things at least. But
yeah, I do. So that the things I think, well, let me tell you a little thing about the things that I think when I'm thinking them. I do think it's like Hangman as a character is like, he's trying to figure it all out. He hasn't figured it all out. He doesn't have like that balance, like in his life, his heart and his mind. And AEW is a young company, and it's like, we've only had 4 champs. I immediately, when he lost, I mean, I was like, ripshit. And then I was like, okay, it doesn't not make sense to me for Hangman to lose earlier than feels good. Mm-hmm. Because it'll be crazy to me if he doesn't come back for another title reign later when, like, he is in balance with himself, basically. And that, like,
for sure,
that'll be, like, his reign of glory. That's what I see in my mind's eye. And I'm like, narratively, that makes perfect sense to me. You get what you want. You're not ready for it. You lose it. you better yourself. You come back. You are ready. You're ready to be the guy that you wanted to be. That is all fine. I am so annoyed at CM Punk. And I'm so, I think I don't have trust right now in where we are going with him. Because all of the indicators to me have been like, Punk is gonna heel turn. He has to heel turn. We're getting like these subtle and sometimes not so subtle indicators that it's like there is like darkness and ego in him that like he is in denial about. Perhaps in real life as well as in kayfabe. Who can never be sure. But the thing that was so discomforting about like watching the match was the crowd reaction, basically, of like having the crowd still like really overwhelmingly be like, we love Punk, we want Punk to win, we buy that this is a face versus face match because we buy what Punk is selling. And that was really rough for me. I just like, again, did not feel, I feel like I'm just not that used to like feeling really out of step. Aside from with FTR, so it makes sense that now he's teamed up with FTR. But like, I'm not used to being like really, really out of step. I feel like with like the crowd on the big storylines.
Yeah.
And so that just felt so like strange to me to be like, so you, is there like any, like, is, I felt like, at, is there going to be a point? Because I have to assume he's heel turning. And if he's not heel turning, send someone to kill me. Send someone to take me out because it's all over for me, baby. But is like, what will be the point where like the crowd understands that like the subtext of the stuff that like Punk's feuds have been about is true and that like Punk, the character, is bad.
Right.
Yeah. And I think actually like I've been thinking a lot about like basically like satisfying narratives and anti-heroes and stuff. But I was thinking about how like the reason for me that the Breaking Bad like finale really worked versus like a Dexter finale like or and whole final run and like whole the show is like Breaking Bad starts out like you think the guy's an anti-hero and it's like, oh, isn't it fun? He's like being such a badass. And then the show really spends a lot of time like hammering into you that like, no, he's doing bad things and he is a bad person. And it like has a very consistent moral viewpoint, whereas like Dexter is like, he's a serial killer but like kind of a nice one and it's kind of okay actually. And
he's
that's kind of
killing
like
other serial killers, which is fine. So
that's really
fine in
Miami. And the fact that he does it because he enjoys killing people and dismembering them, that's just kind of like, don't even worry about it, like not a problem. So to me, like the show really kind of falls apart at the end because it can't decide like that killing people is bad, basically.
Right. The show is Dexter's victim as much as anybody else, because it's like, yeah, I buy his excuse that he's come up with for why it's like okay that he is the way that he is, and the show buys into it.
And I feel like Punk's kind of in the same place where it's like he's doing bad things and has these dark elements, but it's like, it's like at this point the show could decide as a narrative to go ahead, turn him full heel, like, and then all of this is leading up to it and the crowd is kind of complicit and then maybe the crowd turns on it. But right now I 100% don't trust them to do that and have like a consistent viewpoint on how he's been acting. So that makes me feel upset.
I just feel very uncertain. Leah?
No, I was mocking the way she said upset.
Well, she was right to say it that way. That's how I feel as well. Upset. And then Leah, you also raised a pretty good point. You asked the question, is Punk the best wrestler in the world? I'm going to take a second to answer it. No. Absolutely not. We can get that out there, right? Absolutely really? Not.
Clearly the, not.
Have the thing, the fact that he performed two buckshot lariats to mock Hangman and fucked both of them up, and then we're gonna get into it, but on Dynamite,
we're gonna get into it now. Just get us into it. Yeah.
He teamed up with FTR. And he did a very similar hop into the ring and he fell again. Yeah. And you're like, buddy, you have like the one job that you're supposed to be the best at. Like that is like, that's your whole thing is that you're like, oh, I'm a really good wrestler.
I do love saying you have one job. It's to be the best. And you can't even do that. I say it to myself every day. can't even be the best.
Very funny. No, but on that Dynamite episode, like, I guess he was tired, but he looked so sloppy. Like, during that match, it's like, I don't know anything about wrestling or technical anything, but, like, watching that, I did think in the middle, I was like, has Punk always been a really bad wrestler? Like, what is going on? Because, like, it looked bad.
It is crazy that they made him wrestle so soon after, like, a title match. Like,
the man is in his 40s, and he looked it for sure. But, like...
You don't see Jeff Hardy wrestling.
You sure don't. Matt Hardy did get right back out there. You got to give that to him.
Although I will say, like, Kenny and... Brian Danielson wouldn't look that sloppy a couple days later. So if we want to talk about best in the world.
If we are ever going to talk about Kenny, let me tell you this. If Kenny wanted to do someone's move to mock them, he'd nail it. I'll tell you that about Kenny.
Yeah. No question about it.
Can I hit you guys with something I thought earlier when we were talking about this very topic?
Yeah.
Please. I'm experiencing a Kennaissance. I didn't appreciate when I had Kenny, I didn't appreciate him. And now I'm out here like, CM Punk can eat shit. Hangman Adam Page was right that to him, CM Punk will never be the best in the world because Kenny is the best in the world. Mm-hmm. Kenny is the only one to beat. And that's how I feel too. Kenny's the only one to beat. Kenny, back and fucking destroy CM Punk. Do I think that's the storyline we're getting? No, I fucking don't. But it's what I want to see. I want to see Kenny grind CM Punk's face into the ground.
I just keep thinking during this pay-per-view, like, an absolutely insane thought, which was like, if Kenny were here, this wouldn't be happening. Like, Kenny has to come back and save us, which is like,
it's not Kenny's character. Like, if Kenny destroyed CM Punk, it wouldn't be for us. It would be because Kenny just like a whim occurred to him, and he was like, that's gonna happen.
If Kenny did it, he would do it for Hangman.
Yeah.
Come on. The road to redemption coming back.
That'd be so good.
Leah, come on.
Well, you know, the Young Bucks updated their header to be a picture of the Hung Bucks. And so I did have that moment where I was like, if they keep Punk faced for a little bit longer, that will be bad and terrible. But if Hangman goes heel and rejoins the Elite, I will like that. That will be for me. So
interesting.
And if the end of all of this was Kenny taking the title off Punk for Hangman, like, that would kill. And I was texting my friend Jeff this week about the pay-per-view, and he said that his pipe dream is that Punk keeps the title for like a couple months and then Eddie Kingston takes it off.
Oh, I would love that.
Did you see that Eddie Kingston tweet from today that could have been about all sorts of things, but that one where he was the one about ego, where he was like, some people have too big an ego, or he was just like, Eddie's, it's a real observation, but also I'm stirring the pot. And then he just got into like a funny exchange with Ethan Page, but obviously lots of the responses were like, Eddie Kingston, you know what's up, you knew before everyone else, like, you know about CM Punk.
I love this tweet.
Yeah,
Eddie's been wilding out on Twitter. I love it. There was a disgusting little puff piece on CM Punk that was very glowing, but I really lost a lot of respect for him reading it, honestly, between the lines. But Eddie Kingston retweeted it and was like, give me a fucking break, which is very funny.
Well, you guys I haven't read the piece, but you guys both said that one of the interesting things was like who was quoted and who wasn't in the piece.
There was no one really like top line. Like, there was just like no one very notable did. Seems like Punk has taken a interest in Will Hobbs, which, relatable, we all have.
Yeah,
obviously, we love Will Hobbs. Beautiful. Yeah, he's beautiful. Yeah. He's sweet. He's wonderful. Good job. Mm-hmm. But there was like Mac. Darby was the only other person that like raved about him. Apparently, he knows Max Caster's name, and
Max Caster.
Like, we all know Platinum Max Caster's name.
I know. And then Dax and Cash were like, well, basically, like, he has done a lot of matches with us, and that's great for our careers, I guess. That was kind of the vibe I got from them. It was a funny article too, because CM Punk spent a lot of time in it, much more time than other people did, talking about how great CM Punk is. And then at one point, at least, he was like, like Dax was telling a nice story about how like one time CM Punk was like, what are you guys doing on the show tonight? And Dax was like, I don't know. And Punk was like, you want to wrestle me? And he was like, I'll take care of it. And then they were booked on the show that night to wrestle Punk, and it was so great. But then like later in the article, Punk was like, I don't book things, I'm not in charge of things, I'm just here to wrestle. And it was like, okay, that's literally not true. Like earlier in this article,
canon of this article, it's not true. Right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
Yeah. It also just became incredibly clear as you're reading it. It's like Punk is like one of those people that like if he likes you and he stirs himself to do something for you, then he can be very effective. And I'm sure he's like, you know, I'm sure like for MJF, he must have been like a really good resource.
Although MJF wasn't quoted, interestingly.
MJF wasn't. Well, that might be. I mean MJF kayfabe. Is kayfabe.
Yeah,
like he wouldn't, even if he liked, even if he loved Punk, which I actually probably think he does, he never would. What was I talking about?
You're saying if he likes you and he'll be nice.
Yeah. But I don't think he's out there like making offers to like at random. And like, I mean, the difference between like Jade posted a video, well, AAW posted a day in the life of Jade, and like in the background, it wasn't even like a big, like it wasn't the point of the video, but mm-hmm. Bryan Danielson and William Regal were helping her train and like spending like, and like it like looked really natural that he was like in there. And I read something, it was, I don't know if it was later in that video, but I swear I read something where William Regal and Bryan Danielson are doing that kind of stuff all the time, and they're like, mm-hmm. but you don't see them talking to magazines about it, like it's like I believe that.
I know. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like a person who's like a self-aggrandizing liar is like, really, I have zero patience from it. And that's really the impression of him I got from the article. Yeah. And like there's these reports that like Colt's been demoted to ROH, and it was maybe because CM Punk can't stand to be around him because of their personal beef. So like that's pretty unforgivable if you're rich and famous and you get your, you know, your jobber friend fired, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that it's like what it does all kind of add up to is like if they do a good job and they do play out like the threads that are clear, like in that article and like on the show and like just the stuff that like it seems like they've been seeding, this could be a really good storyline. Like heel Punk could be a great storyline. And
what, to be clear, this article was very complimentary and flattering. Like the goal of it was not to be like CM Punk's a terrible person, but anyway, what you're saying, if they follow up on those threads, like it could work really well, conceivably.
I don't know, but it's just like I'm just like so, it's interesting. I feel like I've gone back and forth a lot of times. Like initially when CM Punk showed up, I was, well, actually I'm worried to say what I thought because who knows what I said on this podcast. I feel like I was like, I don't know about this. And then I was like, maybe I do really like him. And then I've just like gone back and forth a lot. And now I'm so mad at him.
Yeah.
And I hate him. And I don't like thinking about him.
So. Well, it's really interesting because so recently, like what, like two and a half weeks ago, we're having a conversation with our friend Jenna, who just got into wrestling and just got into Punk specifically. And she asked, like, if, like, how does it work if you like a heel? Like, you're not supposed to. And Allie, you specifically were like, oh, if Punk turns heel, you'll love to hate him. Like, he'll make you hate him. And, like, you'll have a good time, but, like, you will violently want to shove his face into the dirt. And it's like, the issue with what's happening right now is that is what's happening for us, but the crowd isn't with us. It's like if the crowd agreed, like I wouldn't necessarily hate being on the
agree. If it felt like Punk and Tony were writing it that way on purpose, and since the crowd doesn't agree, it feels like they're not. And I obviously can't know their intent, but it doesn't seem like they are.
And I mean, it's interesting too, now we've been on this for half an hour, so it's really fun for us, but it's interesting too that it's like we're pretty sure that Punk said he wanted to be a heel when he came back to wrestling.
Yeah.
Like that was something that was floating around at the time, and that Tony was like, no, the crowds are going to be too happy about you, so you can't be a heel. And the crowds are still so happy. And it's interesting. It is interesting to think about, like, if they are like, we are trying to heel turn him, like, you know, it's like one of those things where in wrestling, like you have to be responsive to the crowd. You can't force the crowd to feel something that they don't feel, which you can see the failures when they happen. Mm-hmm. You have to work them around like pretty skillfully, basically. Right. And you see that when they're like trying to build when they're trying to build a face, and you see it when they're trying to build heels too. And it is interesting to think that, like, I'm sure that for them, it's like almost, I'm sure it's got to sometimes be like a really fun, hard problem of like, mm-hmm. how do we get mm-hmm. the crowd to the place where they're not going to cheer for you anymore? And I think that like the worry that I keep having that is like really just a commentary on our culture is I'm like, can you get them there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, we got to move on because we spent our whole time on this. I have nothing to say about this, but I will say Hookhausen match, 5 minutes long, so short.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was so delightful, but I stayed at the pool too long, and then I was trying to walk the dog frantically to get back in time for the buy-in, like at 7:30, and I got back, and then it didn't start for 25 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, I think it started at like 7:50 or something like that.
Yeah,
and the whole point of the buy-in is supposed to be that like you get people so excited that they want to watch the show. And actually, like, my friend Allison messaged me right before, and she's like, I'm gonna watch the buy-in because I love Hookhausen so much. And I was like, that's wonderful, you should watch it with us. But like, that would have been like, she's a prime candidate for, like, if you had really worked that, mm-hmm. you probably could have convinced her to watch the rest of it. But it was 5 minutes, and then she was like, all right, well, you guys have fun.
Like, is Danhausen's leg not all the way healed? Like, what's going on with these short matches?
I don't know. They also had so many, like, road to double or nothing things to play because there were 13 matches or whatever, or 12, I guess, after that. But, yeah, but it was very sweet, and Hook let Danhausen get the pin on Mark Stone.
That's romance.
That was great.
That was romantic love. Mm-hmm. We all know it. So we had our Owen Hart men's tournament finals match, which was Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe, and Adam Cole won. And that is all I have to say about that. We'll get into like just how off the, without getting into the next thing on the schedule, how did you feel about the outcome? Because this happened first in the night, right?
Yeah. It did happen first. Yeah. I felt very neutral. Like, I just didn't care about the outcome of this particularly at all. Like, it seemed kind of dumb, but I was like, whatever. Yeah.
It was one of those things where I was like, I don't particularly like Samoa Joe, but I think he needed it more than Adam Cole did. But sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, unlike you, I didn't really feel like Samoa Joe needed it because everyone's obsessed with him. So I didn't feel like either of them needed it. So I didn't care that much. I was just like, Adam Cole kind of like needs this to calm him down, maybe. So, like, maybe it's good that he'll have a little belt for that reason. But I really had no take at this point. So we'll get into the other half of the Owen Hart tournament, which was, so first on Rampage, we had Ruby versus Chris for the fighting for the final spot. They had, did a little promo off. Chris did a pretty good job for her, although I would say it's still not great. And,
it was by far her strongest promo, and it was kind of medium low for medium her, low. Like a promo in general.
Kind of in the C range. But C's do get degrees, as we all know.
I was very proud of her. Been working hard.
And Ruby ended up winning, which we had predicted. We did not predict that the crowd would be so mad about it. So the crowd booed a lot about this.
I had no idea Chris was that over. You know, like,
I
knew she was. Like, I knew she's liked, but not against Ruby.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I know. I was kind of like proud of her weirdly, but I also like Ruby so much that it was like messed up that she got booed. But it was like, well, that's nice that people like Chris.
I was proud of her, but very confused.
Yeah.
Because to me, it had felt like so narratively clear that Ruby was going to be the one to go to the finals that I don't know, it's like yet another thing that the Vegas crowd I was like, do y'all watch this show? Like, are you like, what do you think is crazy. Going I'm on like, here
yeah it was a thing where I was like, oh, Dynamite's usually on at 8:00 Eastern time, is that too early for Las Vegas?
It
like,
might be
ever seen it or
this West Coast upside down crowd, it's very unsettling when it feels like the crowd's on a different page. It's just like, what's going on?
It's so funny that like we love Long Island crowd so much. Las Vegas crowd.
Because we know what to expect from it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's what I felt from this whole thing was, I was like, oh, I have no idea why you guys are responding the way you are to things. Mm-hmm. Whereas, with, you know, Long Island, it's like pretty clear.
Yeah. Well, honestly, my brother who likes wrestling lives in Seattle and doesn't watch Dynamite all the time because it starts at 5. So, like, maybe that is what's going on.
These idiots. Anyway, but so, yeah. So then Britt and Ruby fought at Double or Nothing, and Britt also won. So this was the second Owen Hart match of the night. Adam Cole had already won.
This was shocking to me and messed up because I really, I don't know. It was just like, does Britt's been champion so much. Like, all we see is Britt. I mean, so like, why? Especially when Adam Cole had just won it, then it felt even weirder. It was just like a...
Well, the moment... So Adam Cole was wearing Owen's pink gear. And then the second Britt came out and she matched him, I had a bad feeling where I was like, oh, they're going to win and they're going to be the colors. But it was like, it was still one of those things where I was like, that would be so stupid. That would be like, that. This has got to be a trick. This has got to be Tony being like, but no, actually Tony was like, no, the banana peel was always meant to be there.
This flipped on it exactly as I intended.
These results were, like, honestly, like, so sort of narratively weird, or weird for the overall, like, AEW things, where I was like, did the Hart Foundation get to pick the winners or something? Like, I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, Sarah was saying, like, she's like, I think that Tony wanted Adam and Britt, the people, to be the ones standing next to Martha, not necessarily thinking about, like, the characters, but I think that that's very short-sighted and silly.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to do that, then they should have had Martha, like, pick her two favorite wrestlers, right, and then put their names on a cup. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. Yeah. But that would also just, like, be nothing. You know what I mean?
It would be nothing, like, but now...
That would be stupid.
Well, it would be, but at the same time, now Britt and Adam each have a belt that they get to carry around for a year, probably. Yeah. And for what? Like,
When Britt came out on Dynamite with it, I was just like, are we serious with, like, it's so repetitive when she's been the champion for so long. I just feel like it'd be so much more fun to have Ruby have it, who's really great and good at promos. And if she had a belt, it would be really fun. It just, it felt very like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I don't know. I think I don't feel as strongly about, I mean, I do feel like in general, like, I'm like, I'd love for someone to tell me what Britt's arc is going to be for the next, like, year, 2 years. Like, I'd love some insight into what they think they're doing with the character, because there hasn't been really that much movement. Although at the end of this match, Britt, like, helped Ruby up in a begrudging way, where I was like, that's, like, the only time I've ever seen Britt, Dr. DMD, like, do something not mean at the end of a match, which was interesting to me, if significant. I don't feel like as strongly as you guys about, like, I think to many people it probably, like, didn't really ping, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Britt and Adam getting the belts, like, I guess I agree it's not interesting, but it's also like, okay, well, let's move on. I'm not going to be thinking about that anymore, so let's just move on now.
Well, I mean, it was pretty far down my list of concerns for this paper.
I had a lot of other stuff to be mad about. So.
I don't know. I just think, like, if you're going to make this the equivalent of, like, if it's going to be, like, the ring, right, where, like, you just get to hold it until the next time, then, like, the concept of it being, like, a belt is kind of silly. And it just gives them, like, like Britt a prop that she doesn't need and that she's going to use as a crutch, because I don't think she's going to have a story, because she's going to, like, her whole thing is going to be flashing this stupid belt, you know, like,
she's
at
not
least
have a story
Adam Cole,
she's,
I think,
in the women's division at AEW.
But
I think Adam Cole possibly has more options, just because, like, his stuff with, like, Red Dragon and the Bucks, like, they'll drag him into a story. But, like, I just don't have enough confidence that the women's division is ever going to have a storyline that doesn't revolve around the belts. And Britt having a belt that she doesn't have to defend, I think, is lazy and is going to be annoying to me.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I just don't feel as strongly about it. And yeah. I agree that, like, that I guess the biggest takeaway for me is, like, I want to see storylines that make sense. I want to see storylines.
Oh, I would love that too. Do
people get that? Pipe dream.
That would be
That's
so
what my pipe bomb
nice.
Promo is about.
It's just us sitting cross-legged on a ramp being like, Tony, make the storylines make sense. And then he cuts our mics and we're like, what the fuck?
We're like, Tony, we only got 30 seconds. MJ, I've got 7.5 min. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you're ladies, so you'll enjoy your
You don't need
seconds.
That much time. Such a good point. And then on Dynamite this week, Britt and Jamie Hayter fought Toni Storm and Ruby. And this time, Toni Storm and Ruby did win. So it's kind of like, it's all kind of nothing's really going anywhere. There's nothing to talk about, really.
I felt very like, sure, there's a real point to this. Great. Ruby won now. Sure.
I think the only thing we really do have to mention about that match is that Jamie Hayter's butt was absolutely
perfect.
Insane.
I mean,
there's the woman, so many moments.
Absolute best butt in the biz. Star of the show.
Unreal.
You know, and just like, that's, and what else can you say about that? That's what else is about it, eh? Yeah, I don't know. I think I was going to say something else, but I forgot it. So I don't know. I'm worried about what's going on with me tonight.
Okay.
And then back at the PPV. So this was the second match of the night. Was Bucks versus Hardys. We do have to jump back because we got to talk about it. Okay. So on Rampage before the PPV, the Bucks fought someone I didn't bother to look up, and they came out in Hardy Brothers cosplay. And they did, you got to give it to them. They went all out. They did
their attention to detail was pretty impressive.
It was impeccable. Yeah. Nick was in the Jeff Hardy face paint. He's the younger brother. They did the dancing, they did the spots. Matt did like the Matt Hardy like botch move where he like falls over the edge of the ring. Like, I mean, they really nailed it, you know.
And Brandon was Lita.
Mm-hmm. Brandon was wearing a Lita thong. And so it was in his thong, and people were saying like disturbing things on Twitter, like I'd fuck Brandon in the thong. Like, people were out of control.
Were people saying that?
I believe there were a few tweets.
Yeah. People were saying some things that they would like to, they should keep to themselves. Meanwhile, I'd like to talk about my reaction to Nick in the face paint.
I'd love that for you to talk about it. For you to talk about it, I'd love to hear what you have to say. And I know it's not good because of a little misunderstanding we had while we were watching the show. But go ahead.
What misunderstanding do we have while we were watching the show?
Well, we had a conversation on this podcast where we said that Nick, who doesn't want to be sexualized by us, was going to put on the Jeff Hardy face paint because he'd be like, that's great. Like, that will keep them away from sexualizing me.
That's what we said.
And I referenced that in our group chat, and you were like, totally. He realized we wouldn't be able to resist him with the face paint. Like, you know, exactly what we said, that when he's in the face paint, we're going to get so hot. I'm like, it's actually opposite that we said the opposite, but I love it. What's going on with you about it?
I don't remember that, but I already agree with it. I'm like, as you recited that, I'm like, yeah, no, of course, the face paint only enhanced it, actually.
You're like when he closes his eyes and there are creepy face painted eyes on the eyes.
Loved it. Could not be hornier. One point. Like, I have so many brain worms that at this point, like, at one point I was, like, looking at him and I was like, he just looks really elegant.
Elegant?
Oh, my God.
Leah, that's dangerous. We gotta get you a CAT scan or something.
Call 911, maybe?
Definitely get you to the hospital for sure. Because that's Swiss cheese brain, baby.
Please don't operate any heavy machinery until we get you checked out.
Oh, it was a win. I just think it was a win.
Yeah, I would call it maybe a loss for your sanity, but I do think it was great to see. They did a great job. It was so funny. Loved it. And then at Double or Nothing, because we were in Vegas, they came out both dressed as Elvis, and they had shaved their beards. And
they
were back
most
in
of
the
beard in a little Elvis mutton chop. But
yeah, it was back to the old days of the Young Bucks.
Yep, it was bad.
The old
Bucks. They looked a lot younger.
I wouldn't say bad. It's just not ideal. It's not the most attractive I've enjoyed them at, but like, no. Is there ever a bad?
Leah, you might need to lie down. I don't know. Like,
are you
is someone
a
around who can like check your pupils?
Yeah, we can pause recording. You could go get a thermometer or something. Just kind of check in on that. I agree. I'm always going to love the Young Bucks. I'm always going to love them sexually. Of course, that is my promise that I make to them, that I made to them when I married them on the astral plane. it was pretty devastating to me to see because it's like kind of like if you die in Canada, you die in real life. Like, it's like if you shave your beard for the pay-per-view, you shave your beard in real life. And like, where are we gonna go from here? Like, I'm worried. We're in a transitional period. There's like a lot of changes happening to me. I feel destabilized. Like, I will say, like, then we'll get to it, but like Nick came out, he shaved the full thing for Dynamite. And yeah. Matt is still in the mutton chops. So it's like, Nick, are you going to be a clean-shaven boy now? That's not okay. We can't go back to that, baby. I'm sexualizing you with your beard. I have that beard.
How fast did his beard grow back the last time they shaved him?
I don't know.
I think fairly quick, actually.
I thought it was pretty quick, yeah. So
yeah.
So.
Remember those disgusting mustaches that they grew? And then they shaved completely and then came back?
They did a lot of things in that period, yeah.
Doesn't it worry you that Nick took it all off, though? Doesn't it worry you a little?
But maybe he just wants to grow it all back even instead of like having one little chin patch that's maybe halfway grown.
I don't know anymore. Anyway, the Bucks, the Hardys won.
They were
fairly. I was pretty out of it and was just like I'd been so stressed about the MJF match that I like really wished this had been later so I could have like re-regulated my system. Which,
it was
again,
hard to be having
I understand
fun.
I sound sensitive, but that's what it's like to live in here, guys. So boy.
I had a fantastic time when I was watching it. Like, I just like, I agree that I'd wished it was later because I was definitely a weird vibe, but like, I enjoyed watching it. Like, I thought I had a great time. And then like I do immediately looked up all the reviews as soon as they started coming out, and every single one was like, oh, the Hardys were in real bad shape, and they fucked up a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and
I actually found it like somewhat painful to watch because they look so stiff and just like old. They look like me when I wake up in the morning, and I just felt like I don't know. It was hard.
So I rewatched the next morning. I rewatched it, and this time, like, I looked away from the Bucks, and it turns out, it was actually pretty sloppy. there was so many moments where like Jeff like almost fell off a rope, or like Matt was like calling, but like obviously being like, this is what you need to do next. And there was like also like a moment where like Jeff and Nick were laying together and like Nick was like talking to him.
When you phrase that, it's like they had sex in the Bible.
Okay, well, that's not in my Wattpad account, don't worry about it.
While they were laying together.
You guys remember the biblical sex portion of the PPV, right?
when Nick laid out
Cain and Abel. Jeff, do you think I got to something there?
No!
She doesn't. Okay, whoa! She doesn't think I got something there. Okay, point taken. They're in the Bible. It was a little rough, but the Young Bucks did a great job, and I do like clearly they were like, we want to give you the send-off match that everybody desires.
Do you think they're really going to send off, though, or are they going to hang around?
They're probably
going to
hang around.
Yeah. probably
not at the PPV again.
True.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All of the reviews were like, the Bucks did everything they possibly could to give the Hardys one last classic match, but it was very much like before we send
them before we send them off to live on a farm upstate.
The old, the old dog, senior dog. What's sanctuary? The one on Facebook?
Sanctuary. The yeah. Old dog, senior sanctuary.
The old friend's dog sanctuary. Or
yeah, yeah. Before they cross the rainbow bridge.
Right. Oh my god. Well, I do think that like one of the things that's a little weird about that is like we have seen the Hardys wrestle, and I know it's like you got to build a feud, but. We'd seen them wrestle quite a bit ahead of the PPV, and like Jeff was really getting to do like any crazy spots that he wanted. Yeah. And it's like, maybe we should have done a couple fewer of those, and we could have saved it for the pay-per-view, and maybe we'd all have kind of been in better shape for the pay-per-view.
And he was injured after the pay-per-view, like they had to pull him out of the match on Dynamite this week. So
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Good. There was like a whole thing in the pay-per-view where his boot came unlaced and like, they were like there was something like the zipper might have like blown out, and like someone was saying like his ankle might have gotten fucked up because the boot was like messed up, so he went off screen and like someone was like stapling his boot back together, like I don't know, it was like a whole crazy thing.
Not good. No, but you know, it was fun, and it was fine at the time and for the time. And again, it was biblical, and Nick and Jeff lay together, as in the Bible. And Cain and Abel were also brothers. So that's, I think, does that cover everything
for that? Yeah, I think that's kind of what we said in a nutshell. Didn't Pretty do much. A lot of laughing in the top half of the podcast, so we got to get it in now.
I'm like, we have so much.
I know,
so
it's
much
bad.
Left.
We can when skip I some stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Or we can just go 2 hours.
When I look at where our scroll bar is right now, it's not good.
It could be a 2 hour, but also we could cut some stuff later.
Cut Kyle Darby. Who cares?
Cut Kyle Darby. No, I have to talk about Kyle and Darby.
Sure. What do you got to say about it?
And it was no, it's not a joke. And sexy and okay, erotic.
I mean, goes without saying, but did it add anything?
It doesn't go without saying. It added something for me. It was a moment of pleasure in a pay-per-view that otherwise tried me greatly.
All right. So hello? Let's talk about Kyle Darby.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what I had to say. That's kind of it. I would say that, like, for me in the pay-per-view, like, the clouds were covering the sun. I felt despairing in my soul. For much of this pay-per-view. But when
about
I
how we
saw,
paid money to get that feeling of despair deep in our soul.
You and me, $25 each.
Yep.
Splitting split it. That. But when I saw Kylo and Darby wrestle, and Kyle's body was so pale that Darby looked like a normal color, like a Pac Sun boy. Yeah, I needed that. When they announced the match, we thought, why would they put that in the pay-per-view? But when I was watching it, I was like, thank fucking God you put it in the pay-per-view. I need this. I fucking need this.
Yeah, no, I did agree. It needed to be in the pay-per-view.
Yes.
After the night we had, we needed it.
Yeah, we needed it real bad. I will say, I love about Darby. So Darby lost this match to Kyle. And to whom he was wrestling. He was wrestling Kyle. He lost to him. And I... ever heard of it? And I... was like, you know, it's amazing. Every time I see Darby, I'm like, Darby's unbeatable. Darby is probably like 50-0 because he wins every match. And the fact is, Darby loses so many of his matches, but his vibe is, I always win. And that's really impressive. I think that's cool.
It's the confidence. You know what I think happened to me during this match is that I took all my bedtime medications at the normal time. And I think this was like in a real, like, oh, they're kicking in moment.
They,
like,
they K-holed you.
Some time. They
you got
K-holed
during.
Yep.
Kyle-hold.
Kyle-hold.
Kyle-hold. Kyle-hold. Kyle-hold.
Yeah, like that's what happened to
deeply
me.
Kyle-hold during this match. And I will just note, so Kyle and Adam Cole both won their matches. The Bucks lost, and losing to the Hardys, God bless them. They're not afraid to lose, and I love that about the Bucks. It was their second like high-profile match loss in a while, because they lost to FTR, as you know. So I think that will play into some interesting dynamics, potentially, in the Undisputed Elite going forward. We did get a Bucks, Red Dragon, Hikuleo from New Japan versus Jurassic Express, Christian... Matt Hardy and Darby.
It was insane.
I did,
like
I wasn't thinking about it, and then I, after I typed it, I was like, "This is
crazy.
Yeah, like honestly watching this match, I kept being like, wait, who's fighting who? Because like, which is nuts because like obviously like the Undisputed Elite like makes sense together, but then the other group of them is so just like you went backstage and you just grabbed whoever was in catering kind of feel. It was just like, what are these guys doing together? This was nuts. Like I couldn't remember that they were on a team.
Yeah. Someone's correcting my spelling here while I'm looking at it. Thanks. That's great. Thanks, guys.
I also had to add Darby because you left him off. So.
Oh, did I? Well, that's because I didn't think it made sense that he was there, I guess.
I know. It was, yeah.
But he did tope during, so he did. Yeah, and then we talked about the facial here. Adam Cole was on commentary repeatedly saying things like, no one can stop the Undisputed Elite. That's just a little heavy foreshadowing, which you love to hear. And then the only other relevant thing here is that after, so the Bucks at all got the win here, so it was their little Cali boy win, which they deserved, and Christian, like JB
got pinned. Christian didn't look real happy, I didn't think so.
No, but then Matt Hardy was like hugging JB to be like, it's okay, Jungle Boy, you did a great job. And Christian like immediately like got between them, was like, don't touch my boy, and then was like just doing like stern dad like vibes of like, okay son, we'll talk about this at home, which is like woof. So, I don't know when that's gonna come to a head, but
I do like that they do seem to be doing this storyline on purpose and Christian's gonna lose it at some point, and I look forward to it.
I guess we should actually just touch on this now. I don't know why I put it at the bottom, but also at the pay-per-view we had our tag team three-way tag match with Team Taz, Swerve in His Glory, and Jurassic Express, and the match was great, it was fine, but Jurassic Express retained, which was at the time yet another indignity piled upon other indignities.
Yep.
Why?
It made me mad.
Why? It's so stupid.
They aren't doing anything with that title. It's just like, what is happening here? Yeah.
I don't know.
And then it just did feel like, oh, they retained, so great, Hangman's going to lose. And like,
yeah, that was the moment. When Jungle Express retained, that was the moment that I was like, okay, so we are in for some misery.
Tony really made me mad this week. Tony really upset me.
However, I will say, I just want to, and I'm speaking directly to Chuck Taylor right now. I believe last week on this podcast, we said the Bucks haven't been wrestling, and that's really depressing. And so then the Bucks wrestled Rampage, Double or Nothing, Dynamite, and Rampage tomorrow after we complained about it. So yeah. Chuck Taylor, I've been complaining for 4 months about your behaviors.
It's very depressing.
I would like that to change.
It's very depressing that we haven't seen him wrestle in God knows how long. We haven't seen Best Friends do anything. They're all splitting up. Like, I don't know why Tony hates us and has turned on us, but
I don't know.
It's not nice.
But I did love those pictures of Trent and Orange Cassidy getting their little IV
banana bag
because they got themselves too drunk in Las Vegas. I thought, well, at least you guys are having fun. I'm not having fun, but at least you're having fun.
At least you're having fun.
Yeah.
At least someone is. Okay, back at the dreaded pay-per-view.
The worst pay-per-view they've ever done.
This did make me, well, we'll get to it. But anyway, Jade and Anna Jay fought. Anna Jay was dressed as a magician. I've written John Silver was there at one point. Stokely Hathaway debuted as another manager or lawyer. Athena debuted as a foil for Jade. That's all I've got here. And then at the end, was this right? Athena, Chris Statlander, and Anna Jay ended up squaring off. So Jade won. Athena, Chris Statlander, and Anna Jay ended up squaring off against Jade, Kara Hogan, and Red Velvet. And then we got that again on Dynamite after Athena gave a promo. So we really like Athena. Let's start there, actually.
We'll start there.
Love
she
her.
She was cute as hell.
So
and
cute.
She can
vibes
talk.
So good.
Can
yeah.
you
love it?
The fact that a new woman debuted and then she grabbed the mic and didn't make me want to die? Unbelievable. That's
I know.
A win.
Far exceeding our expectations. Yeah. Yeah, she was great. Her whole energy was great. Stokely Hathaway, I love too. His energy was also great. He seemed like a great pairing with Jade. All this was a big win.
Yes. That's all good.
I don't know that I really loved the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle vibes of the lineup. But
think in wrestling, I've noticed this often when they do those lineups, you've really got to have some skilled players there.
or else there is quite an artificial quality to the like everyone's arguing thing, which I was thinking while I was watching it. Like, I was like, okay, ladies, I get it. You're all arguing. We got to move along here. But
I was thrilled, though, that Athena was teaming up with Chris and Anna Jay because they both desperately need someone to talk for them. And so that's fantastic.
Yeah. And they need masterclass. And I hope that she'll masterclass them.
Yeah. That'd be great. Please.
Yeah. So that was fine and fun. The way I can't create in my mind anything that happened in that match. No idea.
It was fine. It was such a long night. It was just like.
Yeah. It was such a long night. Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb also had a match, and they fought, and Thunder Rosa won. We love to say here, technically, it was a very good match.
Imagine if Serena Deeb had won this, the indignities we would have felt.
I can't. Quit. I don't know. That might have like tipped the whole thing over into funny for me. If Serena Deeb had won, I would have been rip shit, but it also would have just been like, oh, Tony, you did decide to just have the pay-per-view I would hate most with all my heart. Wow, that's interesting. That's comedy.
I think at the end of the night, Leah said in our group chat, like, wrestling sucks now. Maybe I'm just going to get really into Dracula this summer, which I did think was really funny. Just going to get into Dracula. You know what happens? No surprises with Dracula.
No. I actually don't really know the plot of Dracula, if I'm honest. Well, so there's like quite a few surprises for me.
I'm following along with the email list, and as I understand it, things Dracula are starting Daily to get a anyone. Little hairy. I mean, I'm not sure that Jonathan Harker is enjoying himself, but nobody spoil me.
I think you're right. I think that's good reading comprehension, Leah.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
I was actually an English major. Thank you so much.
Wow, it's really showing right now.
Thank you so much.
Coming through loud and clear. Yeah, does anyone have anything? Thunder Rosa looked great again. It was a good match.
She looked great. She comes out in really good stuff for these big pay per views.
Yeah, I think it was just an annoying night because there were three women's matches, which we never get, which is like should have been fantastic. We never get that, but we got Jade and Anna Jay, which is a boring match with bad wrestling. I'm so sorry. I love you. I love you Jade, right now.
love them
so much. But it's a boring match with bad wrestling. Then we had Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb, which is a boring match with good wrestling. Again, I love you, Thunder Rosa. It's right. And then Ruby versus Britt was technically, it was good wrestling and it wasn't boring, but it was a bad ending. So like, can one of them make me happy? Like, it's seriously. Not about quantity. Like, but come on.
No effort in the storylines. Cause like, if any of them had like compelling emotional beats, it would have helped out, but nope.
Just not set up that good. She said grimly. So anyway, but Thunder Rosa retained, which is important. So light a candle for a good feud for her next. No idea what that's going to be. Death Triangle versus House of Black. So we didn't, as you remember from last week, we didn't give a shit about this feud. But then Death Triangle came out.
We did say there was one thing they could do that would make us give a shit.
We did. So. But I want to give credit where credit is due. That's not what got me into the match in the first place. It was that Rey Fénix brought his little baby and put him in a little lucha mask. And he came out with Death Triangle during the intros. And it was so cute. I just lost my mind. And was like, actually, I love Death Triangle.
And they never lost us was the thing. Like, there is a world in which they did that and then we petered out and stopped paying attention, but they never lost us.
It was a very fun match.
The House of Black like intro aesthetics were really good. Like, they've been so annoying, but their aesthetics are really good. They came out with some creepy horror movie masks and it was like real good. I thought
I love their aesthetics, and I honestly think have gotten like less tired of them than maybe Leah, but I'm afraid to quote her, but like at least like some people have been
I'm very tired of them. But
I love their aesthetics the whole time. I'm just always like, I wish there was some content behind the talking.
Yeah, exactly.
But finally we did get some movement here, because the climax of this match, which again was fun up to this point, was that the lights cut out and then came back on, and Julia Hart had gone full dark heart, and distracted, I've written someone, I don't know who.
Pack. She spit black
Pack.
Mist.
Oh, right.
Pack's
she gooed
face.
Pack.
Yeah. It was so good. So she's good. So corrupted that now she's producing the black mist within her body. It's amazing.
It's a real like alien vibe.
Loved it.
yeah, and then so that meant that House of Black could get the win, and then she left with House of Black, and like she was in her Dark Heart outfit, mm-hmm. and she had the goo in her mouth, like yeah. it was great. It fucking rocked. It was rock. Metal.
It was it looked so good.
Yeah, I was so pleased that they finally paid off. Remember when it started, and we were like, "Wouldn't it be cool if this happened?" But it seemed like they weren't doing it really. But this was fantastic.
Sarah and I had a conversation about that last night, where we're like, "It's really interesting." Saying that wrestling, so like you, the three of us are TV watchers. Like we never watched wrestling before. And now we watch wrestling as if it is TV. And we watch TV as if
it's wrestling. Actually, that's something that comes up quite a bit. We just finished Buffy, actually, but while we were watching Buffy, we were always being like, "This is kind of like how it is on wrestling."
It's true.
But yes, we're TV long-time TV watchers.
TV watchers. Yeah, that's our credentials.
And the thing is that wrestling wants you to treat it that way. Like it wants you to follow a narrative. But the thing is that like. Because like there's so much real life stuff in it, like it just constantly gets handicapped. Because like I think like Julia's reveal should have happened like a lot earlier, but Phoenix getting hurt, they didn't want Julia to get revealed until Phoenix was back and it was full trios. So then they just had to be like, just kidding. We're gonna tread water for a little
TV
while.
TV does have the advantage that their actors aren't tearing their ACLs every week. Yeah. So right,
yeah.
And I will say too that like almost every time that the pacing on a storyline has been bad, it has been like they've been putting in time waiting for someone to come back from injury, with the exception of Chris Jericho, who can't pace anything to save his life. But
But you know, Julia Hart, I think actually like did a really good job while it went on longer than probably they thought it would, of like just showing up sometime. Like every time we saw her, I was like, oh, this is good movement. Yeah. Like I can see that you are like Strugs to Funk. They did a good job, but it was just a thing where it's like, again, this comes up a lot in wrestling. Like you don't always know who you can trust to follow through on a storyline the way that you think it should be followed through on. And we've had plenty of time. I'm sure if we listened to this podcast and like things that we said, you know, a year ago, like there are plenty of things that we've been like, this is obviously the smart thing to do. That's definitely what they're doing. And the wrestlers are just like, not what we intended and not what we're doing. And actually that'll never happen. The end. You won't be hearing about that again. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot riding on like the actors basically.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like they're slow burn while they're waiting for an injury to come back. And sometimes it's just like Dante Martin cares about flips and doesn't care about stories. And so nothing's ever going to happen.
I mean, I guess in fair, clearly the whatever was going on behind the scenes with Leo Rush, like clearly impacted what they were doing with Dante. But it was kind of like you needed to pull that boy so much earlier than you did. Like you needed to like call an audible on that whole storyline. Like literally the second things started going sideways with Leo Rush.
And it made no sense even at the very beginning. I feel like it just never made any sense. So
no, it's true. Sorry, Dante. We love you so much. All we want is a little juicy feud for you, but now unfortunately you're getting involved with Dan Lambert, so gonna KMS. Jazz and BSC. So this is anarchy in the arena, and it was anarchy.
It was so much fun. I did wish at a lot of points that it was like lit a little better, because it was like hard to follow a lot and hard to see stuff that was cool.
Yeah. I think I almost didn't notice or didn't mind, because I was just like, wow, this is unhinged. And whatever I'm seeing at any given moment is not what I expected to be seeing. And I love that for me.
I have no complaints. I actually would love to see more wrestling matches where I only get to see about 8 seconds of five separate matches at a time.
It kind of feel like this match understands my attention.
Yeah, exactly. This match is for ADD girls, and we are happy.
Yes. And that's us, baby. It was pretty frenetic. They did a very funny thing where it's like Mox and Brian Danielson and maybe Eddie, I don't know, came out to Wild Thing. And then
did come out with Mox. Yeah, this was the first time, which felt very
all came out together. For a minute, moving to me. They were a family.
Yeah.
Just a minute. And so Wild Thing was just playing on a loop for like quite a while. And I really just kept being like, this is
insane. They're just going to keep playing the song for the whole match? That's crazy. And then Chris Jericho got fed up with it and yanked the soundboard out. So then the music cut, which is incredibly funny. And then they split into their... It is, like, pretty funny to me when they do these, like, big, you know, like, stadium stampede style. There's, like, 10-man, you know, whatever. That they are always like, okay, everybody pick a partner. And then you're just going to be doing
intimate violence
with your one... partner. It's monogamous violence, actually, for the next 20 men.
But that was the funny part, because Daniel Garcia was assigned to somebody else and he left his partner to go find Eddie, who was assigned to Mustard Boy, and he was like, no, we will be riding this elevator together.
Yeah, the mustard was so funny, because I mean, it looked gross and they were doing a great job with it. And then, like, I feel like in later promos Jericho was like, we were assaulted and thrown gasoline on us and mustard was thrown on us, and I was like, that's kind of like not
as these are not equivalent sins. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys think that when they went in the elevator and it closed, it wasn't supposed to close?
I do not think it was supposed to close. No, I do not.
That shot was crazy, right? Because it was just like on the end of like the elevator closing when they cut to it, and then they were missing. And they cut
right away.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they were missing for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. That's... And then Eddie emerged looking like the last girl in a horror movie.
It was like, honestly, it was full final girl. Yeah.
It was the most arresting image. I just thought, like, wrestling, like, if that was in a, like, is better than stuff in a movie. Actually, it was funny because we did watch the end of Buffy this week, and so they come through the whole final battle. And obviously, Buffy had, like, no money for special effects at all. But, like, at the end, like, they had, like, little blood painted on their face for their little cuts. But actually, people don't bleed like that when their face gets cut. Like, I can tell you.
And at the end of Buffy, she'd been fucking stabbed through her midsection, but then was just like, I healed that, so I'm actually all okay. And my shirt is there's no blood on my shirt.
Like, barely any. I know. Okay. It's like,
you guys,
when you see,
we are
like,
at 80 minutes.
They were so bloody, though, and it was so cool. Eddie looked amazing.
He looked amazing.
Stop. Yeah, we're at 80 minutes. It's pay-per-view. It's the only pay-per-view we've ever been like, we hated it.
Yeah.
And we can't talk about it for 80 minutes. As always, you can turn it off. You can turn us off anytime. You have full control of the dial.
So many people choose not to listen at all.
Every week people don't listen to us. I'm listening to these romance novel podcasts now. You know how long those episodes go? It's longer than this. So I won't be shamed for what we've done. And then on Dynamite, the Jericho Appreciation Society was like cutting a promo, and then Eddie and William Regal, and I didn't actually wrote all this out, but I didn't really follow what
was
going on.
Do we need to talk about how in the pay-per-view match, though, like, Eddie poured gasoline on Jericho, but also on Bryan Danielson, and then Bryan Danielson got mad and started punching Eddie, and then Mox had to break it up, which was electrifying, all of it.
Yeah, it was good. Mox had to tell his two husbands, like, don't fight, because I love you both. And so then on Dynamite, the two things that were going on was that Eddie was like, I want a blood and guts match with Jericho. And that Ortiz cut some of Jericho's hair off. And so Chris
honestly,
Jericho
more shocking
was like,
than when they were covered in blood.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. And Christian, one of the things we said during the match at the pay-per-view was like, wow, it's really clear what's going on with Chris Jericho's bald spot. Like, in this match, like, somehow it just became like so evident that it's like, wow, it's a more severe situation than I would have guessed. And I guess he saw it too. I really think he did, because then
what's he going to look like if he does like a Trent buzz cut?
I don't know. Maybe good, because Craig looked Trent so good when he did that buzz cut.
I don't know that Jericho's head shape can hold.
I saw pictures of him with hair, short hair, but he was a lot younger, so I don't know what he'll look like.
Yeah,
older. That was a really insightful.
Oh, Leah, we're at 80 minutes, and that's what you're saying. well. How the turntable. Anyway, Ortiz and Jericho are going to have a hair versus hair match. And
Jericho better go through with it, unlike Matt Hardy, because I still feel a little bit.
I think
gypped.
He will, because I think that Jericho, I think he wants to shave his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. I thought Matt Hardy did too, though, because his situation is not a good situation.
Well, maybe I did look up the dates and they didn't really add up, but
I was like, what if Matt Hardy wanted to do the hair feud, but then he was like, I think maybe I'm going to, maybe Jeff's going to get away from WWE, so I'm going to need my hair for us to match. And I don't think it's a crazy thing for me to think, honestly. And then later on Dynamite, Mox fought Daniel Garcia for his husband, I think, and won. Daniel Garcia was crazy. He was insane in the membrane during this match. He was really hungry for respect, and that's kind of what the match was about.
That's what I would say as well.
But he was defeated.
He was. He didn't get it.
He didn't get respect. And then something happened, and Eddie was doing something on the sidelines, and then the end of this match was Mox saying to Eddie, you're a hard man to love, but I do love it. Okay, we can do blood and guts. And then Eddie just looks so happy where he's like, he's gonna do blood and guts with me.
When he said you're a hard man to love, Eddie was just like, yeah,
that's, yeah,
that's true. Like, accurate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that was the feel-good moment of Dynamite, really. The end of Dynamite. I was like, that's great. That's exactly what I want to see.
They ran overtime for that. And you know what? It was worth it.
It was worth it, yeah. Okay, overall thoughts? anything we didn't get to?
Well, I think we loved it overall.
I would give it an A+. Yeah.
Guys, even as a joke, I don't feel comfortable with this. I didn't enjoy myself. I was pretty mad. And it actually made me be like, I hate pay-per-views. Which is not, I don't think, is universally true. Obviously, I've enjoyed many pay-per-views, but like the stakes of a pay-per-view are so high. Like, it's like, yeah, I kept thinking, this is the dumbest thing I've ever thought, but like, yeah, I'm not a sports girly. So I'm like, we're going to be watching the pay-per-view 6 hours. Like, it's going to be a long, it was like seven. It was like 7 hours of pay-per-view with the intro stuff. So I'm getting all my snacks and I made a little dip and I just kept thinking, this is my Super Bowl. This is my Super Bowl. But then as I experienced my Super Bowl, I was like, oh, the stakes are too high. I don't like it. I like my normal Dynamite where the stakes are normal and Tony doesn't have the chance to make me this angry. Yeah. So that was rough.
It's
for me,
kind of
honestly,
the experience of, you know, half of Super Bowl watchers, really. So
that's true. Yeah, that's really true. That's such a, yeah, good
point. I know. It was interesting how much they disappointed me, actually, because I did feel like the storylines leading into it were kind of lackluster. But like, then you think if they're lackluster, like they can't take you too high or too low. But they took me pretty low.
Yeah.
There was Miro did come back. That was nice. I'm happy to see.
Oh,
Miro.
Yeah, Miro came back on Dynamite this week. That's good.
Yeah,
and he said some great stuff. What was that line that he had?
I don't remember his heart.
My neck of sand
is repaired, but my heart is broken.
Yeah,
something like that.
It was great. Miro's great.
I think he either killed God or is planning to kill God.
He's planning to. He has,
because he's going to go to heaven by doing whatever. And
I think
there
he said
he's
like, I'm going to take out all your henchmen and then storm the gates of heaven or something like that. It's interesting because I'm like, I don't think that many people at AEW are like henchmen of God. That's not how it's like, if you're going to go after the Young Bucks, maybe, but.
I did laugh. I saw a tweet that was going around that was like, all right, MJF gave a promo where he was like, I'm the second best quarter of 18 to 49 demographic, blah, blah, blah. And then it cuts to Miro and he's like, I'm going to murder God.
And you know what? We're at the end of things and we won't get into it again, but I enjoyed, in a way, Miro saying he would murder God more than I enjoyed MJF talking about his demographic viewership.
In a way, you enjoyed it more.
I don't really want to hear about demo viewership when I watch the program. So that's kind of how I'm feeling at the end here. I don't want to hear about the demo.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody good?
That's about sums it up.
You want to say something else about Buffy, Leah?
No.
Hey, Leah, and waste a little time talking about the end of Buffy, which we watched this week.
We could be like JR and Excalibur right in the middle of the pay-per-view, just like talking about, just doing some, having some chit-chat time while we wait for basketball to end.
That's really all I want.
No, the only thing we have to say before we end it is that if you, like me, ordered a magnet and it came with a very disturbing slit on the side where some horrible mail thief stole your magnets, please let us know. We will replace them. I am getting new magnets to replace my stolen magnets. And hey, magnet thief, if our beautiful magnet turned you on to listening to our podcast, go fuck yourself.
Oh, but if you're a listener now, it's okay. No worries. if you become a loyal listener, yeah.
And you know what? You stole them. You stole four magnets, so like give three to your friends and have four new listeners to the podcast. That's worth it.
I like, Leah, that you came out strong, kind of. You're like, I believe the thief was in Kentucky. I believe the thief was at the beginning of the journey, and that others could have been impacted.
Oh yeah, no, of course it didn't happen in Boston. It happened in Kentucky. Absolutely.
That's so true. Bostonians would never do a crime like stealing mail.
I'm a little bit offended, but
sure.
But yeah, we have more magnets left, so if anybody wants to order a magnet, please do to make up for the money that the post office stole from us.
Yeah, please make up our post office deficit. This is a good ad, guys. I think that's what people like to hear. Hey, guys, we'd love to make some money off of our magnets. Please get a magnet.
Be pretty exciting.
They are magnetic, and I believe that we have one of them is on a car somewhere. So
very exciting. We'd
love to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This remains Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever the fuck you want. And come back next week.
Yeah.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.